been doing a series for a while, and I don't know how long it's going to go. It was originally going to be 7 weeks, but it'll be longer than that. But in the Gospel of John, which is John's biography of the life of Jesus, he mentions seven miracles only. And he calls them seven signs because signs are intended to point you to something. So his whole purpose is we want you to know who Jesus really is. And so that's what we're talking about. So I mixed up the order a little bit because the feeding of the 5,000 works really well with communion. I think Jesus is talking about himself as the bread of life. So we're going to save that for Communion Sunday. And Jesus walking on water in John is a very short story in John. It's much less information than the other gospels. And I thought today would be a good day to be short and sweet and to the point and talk about Jesus walking on the water. So if you want to read along with me, I'm going to be going to John chapter 6. And I'm going to just read verses 16 to 21. And I haven't done this in a while, but this is a First Nations version of the New Testament, an indigenous translation. So First Nations means the people that were here first before the Europeans came. It's a council of many different tribes that have put together a translation. So it just reads a little different and kind of gets us into the story. Instead of using proper names, they use what the name means. So like if you ran across the name Philip in the Bible, my name, instead of saying Philip did this, they would say lover of horses did this, because that's what my name means, lover of horses. So you're going to hear what their names would be for some of the things that are familiar to us biblically, all right? So John chapter 6, beginning of verse 16, I'm just going to read this short thing and then we'll talk about it. Later, as the sun began to set, his followers climbed into a canoe to go to the village of comfort, that is Capernaum, on the other side. Darkness was beginning to creep across the water with no sign of Creator Sets Free. That's their name for Jesus. So they pushed off from shore. A strong wind blew in over the waters, and the waves grew large and pounded against them, threatening to overturn the canoe. They were pulling hard on the paddles, trying to make headway, but it only traveled partway across the great lake, and they were still a long way from land. They looked out through the storm, and their eyes grew wide with fear, for they saw Creator Sets Free coming toward them, walking on the water. Creator Sets Free saw the fear in their faces and called out to them, "Do not fear, take heart, it is I." And when they knew it was Creator Sets Free, they were glad to bring him into the canoe, and suddenly they were at the shoreline on the other side of the great lake. Amen. Let's pray. God, we ask that you would help us to understand your word today, that we would hear your voice and feel your presence. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is one of the many stories about water. Sometimes water is really fun. How many of you like the water? How many of you like the water? Do you like? How many of you like being by the water? Any ocean people? Lake people? Not as many. Sometimes a lake can be as good as an ocean. Not always. No, come on in. Your mother will come. Hello, hello. Do you guys like the water? Do you like swimming in the summer? Going to, you know, a lot of people like the water, right? A lot of people are afraid of the water, though. Is anybody afraid of the water? So sometimes you get people that they don't like the water, right? Like these two coming in. They don't like the water because they don't look like they're ready to hop in the pool. Do you know that certain animals, we'll start with animals, right? Certain animals like the water. How many of you have a dog? Does your dog like to go in the water? Yes? Yes? Because I know some dogs that don't, right? Some dogs, they never want to go in the water. Some dogs do. Now, cats famously don't go in the water, right? I don't think you'll see our cats jumping into the pool anytime soon. Did you also know that hedgehogs don't like the water? Like, you won't see a hedgehog going into the water either. So there are some animals afraid of water, some animals that aren't. Just like us as people. Some people are afraid of water. They're afraid of, I don't know what might happen in the water. I had a friend who would never go in the ocean past his knees, and neither would he let anyone else go past their knees because he said there were sharks in every single ocean on every beach that he ever visited. And so maybe that's what people are afraid of, right? There, some people won't go on cruises, right? Because they're afraid of the water or whatever. And right now, I have a little sympathy because of the tragedy that happened with the submarine. I mean, that's what makes us scared. And the submarine was going to see the Titanic, which was another accident. I mean, sometimes there's good reason to be afraid of water because water can be powerful and dangerous, and things can happen. Now, the disciples of Jesus who were on this boat on the great Sea of Galilee, the Great Lake, they were Jewish, and Jewish people weren't really known as seafaring people. They didn't really have a history of doing much on the water. And in fact, you know, one of their biggest stories, the Exodus, you know, when they were rescued from Egypt, included the parting of the Red Sea, right? So the sea represented this kind of very powerful thing that was blocking them when Pharaoh's army was chasing them and they were trying to get free. They were literally stuck, as the old song says, some of you may know this, between the devil and the deep blue sea. You know, it's when you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. I mean, the sea sometimes just represents this impassable, impenetrable, unfathomable, somewhat dangerous place. And Jews at the time of Jesus believed that there was a lot of chaos in the sea, and that even evil spirits might be involved in controlling some of what goes on in the sea. So if they were caught alone in a storm on a lake, it was a very scary thing. It was not something they were skilled in. It was not something they might have been used to some extent, because many of them were fishermen, but it's not something that they really relished or enjoyed, not anything that would inspire confidence. And as we see in this story, it really inspires fear. The book of John is interesting because I think he's writing to Jews, and he wants them to see a connection between what Moses did in the Exodus and what Jesus is doing. So when he feeds the 5,000 and multiplies the bread, he's reminding them of when God sent bread called manna in the desert for the people. When Jesus chooses 12 disciples to be his main disciples, there were 12 tribes of Israel. He's trying to intentionally make a connection that Jesus is doing something new. So when Jesus in his gospel is walking across the water, he's intentionally referring to Moses, who was the great prophet that rescued them, you know, from slavery, rescued them from their enemies, rescued them from evil. And in Deuteronomy 18, it says that God, I will raise up a prophet like you, Moses, from among my people, who will one day rescue everyone. And many people look to Deuteronomy 18 as that promise of the Messiah, the one who would come to rescue them. Jesus was the new, better than Moses, prophet who would come and lead his people. So there's a lot of symbolism and imagery that's going on in this story. There's also the fact that something really bad was happening, and it's easy to overlook that, you know, because when you're past something, it doesn't seem as bad, amen? And I think that's good, right? Remember something you were afraid of, but once you got through it, you look back and you kind of breathe a sigh of relief, or maybe you don't even like to think about it anymore, you know, but it's something that you just, when it's in the rearview mirror, it doesn't seem as bad. Some of you can think about things that happened to you when you were younger, right? That were just horrible, that were just so fear-inducing in you. But once you make it through it, you can look back. So we look back on this, and we think of Jesus walking on the water, and sometimes we forget how scary and how dangerous it was. So let's look at it for just a second. First of all, it says the situation was dark. It was dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. Darkness is a scary thing, right? And people who say that darkness isn't scary, I would contend, well, you've never really been in total darkness. You've never been in total darkness. If you think about it, there's always light. If you think about it at night, there's always light. You think about most of the places where you say it's dark, you know, there's really a bit of light coming through. And of course, I like the joke that somebody put on the internet, you're not really afraid of the dark, you're afraid of who you can't see in the dark that might be there or what might be there, right? And it's because it is, because we can't see as well. We can't see clearly. You know, I mean, there are things that would be hidden from our view. But praise God, it's never totally dark, because if it's totally dark, you would go insane. I've been in several of those cave tours that you can take in different places, right? Where you go under the ground and go into the caves. And I remember one of them saying that if you were in total darkness, like they had to be concerned about this with the miners, lots of things would happen. You'd actually get sleep deprivation because your body wouldn't know what time it was to sleep. People that they've tested, some of them slept for 30 hours straight. Some of them didn't know what time it was. Anybody that spent more than a week in darkness came out and didn't know what day it was, didn't know what month it was. People say you'd even go insane in total darkness. Praise God, you've never experienced total darkness in your life, because your body would not be able to handle it. There's always a light somewhere. And when you're in darkness and you need to see something, what do? You look for the light. So the same is true with God in your life, friends. It's never totally dark. If you think you're in a place of darkness spiritually or a darkness in your faith, it's never totally dark. And thank God that it isn't, because it would be all over for us. If it was ever totally dark spiritually, totally dark in our faith, there's always light. Jesus is the light of the world, and you just need to keep looking for the light until you find it. No situation is totally, you know, without light in it if you just keep looking for it. And it might be full of darkness, and that darkness might be legitimate and real and dangerous. And it was dark, and they were on the boat. I'm sure that they wanted to get to the other side before it was too dark. I don't know if there was a moon that night or not, but it was dark when the storm hit, and that made it worse. And they pointed out that Jesus was not yet with us. Well, where was Jesus at this point? Well, if you look back a little bit further, what happened was he sent them on ahead, said, I'll catch up with you. It's funny, they didn't ask him how. You know, maybe they knew Jesus enough to say, I guess dude can get his own boat, his own canoe, right? Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, it says. And I believe that because Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus was on a mountain praying for them, watching over them. You may not feel like God is in your life, but know that Jesus is watching over you always. And Jesus is praying for you. And at just the right time, when they needed it the most, Jesus came to them across the water. They thought they were alone in the darkness, but they weren't, because there was yet a light on the mountain. And that light was praying for them, and that light was watching over them. And I say to each and every one of you that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, that no matter how dark it is watching over you and praying for you and will come to you at the right time. So it was dark. The winds were strong and the sea was rough. And immediately we know that that's just symbolic of the storms that we face in our life, right? I had an opportunity to go sailing once. I don't know if any of you have been sailing on a sailboat. And this was in San Diego several years ago. And I took a group of people with me, about 8 or 9 people, not too many, maybe 7 or 8, whatever could fit on the sailboat. And the guy taking us out, the captain, he was the only one that knew how to sail. None of us knew how to sail. We were all brand new people. And he said, I normally don't do this, but, you know, the weather looks good. It should be all right. We'll get out there. Well, sure enough, if you know what happens, a storm came up that was completely unexpected. And only one guy in the boat knew how to sail. And he had to, like, mess with the sails. So he puts me on the wheel and tries to tell me what to do. And I'm telling you, I was scared. I was scared. And this wasn't a big storm. And this wasn't, like, you know, any kind of dangerous storm. But I knew nothing. And I was freaked out. These disciples knew a whole heck of a lot more than I did about storms. And yet they were freaked out. So that tells me this storm was pretty intense. I mean, this storm was something to be reckoned with, because they realized we're not getting anywhere. And then I just picture them in the boat. You know that feeling when you're rowing or you're paddling hard and you're just not getting anywhere because of the wind that's blowing against you? Do you know what that feels like in your life? Have you ever felt like you're just trying and trying and trying, and the harder you try, you don't get anywhere? You know what I mean? Have you ever had those times where it's just like you feel the overwhelming sense of the storm, whatever it is that you're facing? And there are some storms that we all face, believe it or not. Do y'all know that we're all going to experience the death of someone we love? And that's a difficult storm to go through, grief. We're all going to experience loneliness. We're all going to experience at least a moment in our life when we're not sure about our financial situation. We're going to face a moment in life where we're not sure about our relationships, about our friendships. I would wager to say that every single one of us is going to be betrayed by a friend or somehow hurt by a friend to some level. We are all going to face storms. We are all going to have times when it's not smooth sailing, I think is the apt pun for the situation, where it's difficult and we have to row. And the harder we try, it seems like the less progress we make. And that's because at that point, we need Jesus to come and help us. And Jesus comes to that storm to help them. He realizes they've reached the point where their strength is failing, where they can't do it on their own anymore. And that's what this story reminds me, because I feel like we all relate to the storm when the wind is blowing against us and it's hard to make any progress and it's getting dark and our strength alone isn't enough anymore. And that's what we have to get to. And the first thing I thought of as an example of this situation is people who are in recovery. I think Alcoholics Anonymous and other recovery groups do a great job. And the principles that they have are principles that we could all use every day in life, because you reach a point where if you want to start AA, step one says we admit that we're powerless over our alcohol and our lives have become unmanageable. And step two, we come to believe that a power outside ourselves could help us. And then number three, we make a decision to turn our will and lives over to the care of God as we understand Him. I mean, isn't that powerful? Isn't that something that everyone should do? And, you know, and whatever it is, because there's other situations. You don't have to be an alcoholic. You can admit that your fear and anxiety is unmanageable. And someone, you need a power outside yourself to help you overcome it. And so you open yourself up to God as you understand Him. And then the steps go on from there. I mean, the principles of the 12 steps are honesty, hope, surrender, courage, integrity, willingness, humility, love, responsibility, discipline, awareness, and service. Who doesn't think that those are great values for life, for anybody's life, right? And when the people get together and they work that in this program, they see tremendous success in being able to get free of that storm, to be able, through the help of God, you know, make it through that difficult storm of that addiction, whatever it is. And again, I think it could be anger, it could be grief, it could be a problem with gambling or drinking or whatever. I mean, there's many things, right? That we can, you know, maybe at some point it feels like it's out of control, right? It's unmanageable. I need help. And when we come to believe that God is there to help us, and we open ourselves up to God, and when we're honest, right? Can you imagine? I feel like if the disciples were people today in that boat, if they were like you and me, you'd be like, it's all right, Jesus, I got this, right? And at first, they didn't even recognize him, right? In fact, the other stories tell us they thought he was a ghost. I mean, he's walking across the water. Oh, and catch this. In our minds, see if I'm right, in our minds, hey guys, in our minds, don't we think of Jesus when he's walking on the water like it's this smooth, kind of smooth lake, right? Like immediately, that's what your mind thinks. Check the story. The waves were rough. Jesus was walking on a turbulent sea. Try to picture that in your mind. So Jesus wasn't walking on a smooth, crystal clear lake. Jesus was literally walking through waves, through the rough sea. Jesus doesn't take care of things in your circumstances. Jesus doesn't make it smooth sailing to you before he comes to you in the middle of the storm, while the wind's still blowing, while the waves are still crashing up. Jesus comes walking right through those rough waves and right through that strong wind that's against you, right to where you are in your boat. And will you recognize him? Will you open yourself up? Because again, some people don't believe in God. You know, they just think it's like a ghost, right? You have to recognize God. You have to open yourself up to God as you understand him. I talked to a friend, a very good friend of mine, who helped me with this message. He's in AA. He's a fantastic example of how this can transform a life. And he said, Pastor Phil, you know, we have another acronym in AA. It's called HOW. I said, what does that mean? He said, here's how you get better. You're honest. You're open-minded. You open yourself to God. And you're willing. Honest, open, and willing. And I said, again, that's a principle for life. Because the disciples had to be honest. They had to say, you know what? We're not making any progress. We need some help. They had to be open to the fact that it wasn't just an apparition. It wasn't just a figment of their imagination. But Jesus was really there next to them in the boat. And then if you notice what the text says, once they recognized it was Jesus, go back and look at it, they were willing to let him into the boat. They were willing. And I wonder for how many of us that are struggling that Jesus or God is not right there next to us, waiting for us to be honest. Yes, I need help. Waiting for us to recognize him. Yes, I'm open to believe that this is God in my life. And then three, the biggest part, willing. We got to be willing to let Jesus into our life. We have to be willing to let Jesus into our boat. We have to make that choice. And I'm sorry, but I think the people that can just continue to complain on one end and even struggle, both legitimately on the other, you have to ask yourself, am I willing? Am I open to God? Am I ready to be honest about what's going on in my life? Because until you do those things, people tell me, you know, if you're an alcoholic, you'll still be an alcoholic. And I got to think I'm still going to be stuck in whatever boat I'm stuck in until I'm ready to be honest, ruthlessly. I like how the AA says it, ruthlessly honest. You have to do a ruthless moral inventory of your life. How many of us are ready to do that, right? I mean, I know that's a fact. I know we like a little bit of conviction, but, you know, don't mess with too many things at once. Take it easy on me. Honesty, open. You know, again, where is God? God is in your life. Just start to pray. God, help me to see where you're already at. As speaking to anybody right now that feels like you're in a dark time or you're in a storm, I challenge you. There's light somewhere. There's light somewhere. If it's a situation in a relationship, family, friends, if it's a situation at work, if it's just in general about the world we live in, I mean, there's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of rough waters. There's a lot of wind. But the Jesus is there. I believe it. I know it can sound crazy at times, but I believe it. And I just ask God to open my eyes to recognize that he's there, to see where the light might be, to see where there's a little bit of light that I can move towards. And as I'm honest and as I'm open, to be willing to let Jesus come in to the boat. And then in this story, John adds a little detail, which is interesting. He says, as soon as Jesus got into the boat, immediately they were where they were going to. Now, I know it doesn't happen like that for us. I mean, sometimes the details are just about what happened then. We got to remember that. I know that as soon as that moment comes, but I tell you what, again, that idea, when we look back on it and what seemed like would never end, we realize this too shall pass. I'm saying maybe that's kind of it, you know? Maybe looking back on the story, they realize the rest of the journey seemed to go like that, because in compared to the first part without Jesus and then comparing to the second part with Jesus, the whole sense of time was different. So friends, that's it. That's my message today.